morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk with Thomas Otten from Avera Behavioral Health. He is going to talk about the rural ag and rural stress hotline that they have available, some of the reason why, some of what it can do. I hope you stick around. It's a really important topic and good information available on that. Renee Kranz will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this, the last Sunday in the church year. Kelly Bartman with the first and second reading, Deacon John Devlin with the gospel.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. In those days, all the tribes of Israel came to David in Hebron and said, "Here we are, your bone and your flesh. In days past, when Saul was our king, it was you who led the Israelites out and brought them back. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel, and shall be commander of Israel.' When all the elders of Israel came to David in Hebron, King David made an agreement with them before the Lord, and they anointed him king of Israel." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Father who has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the king of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation? And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Kranz.
Pope Francis has appointed Monsignor Francis Malone, a pastor and the Chancellor for Ecclesial Affairs in the Diocese of Little Rock, Arkansas, to be the Bishop of Shreveport, Louisiana. Bishop-designate Malone, 69, has held the post of Chancellor since 2008. He also is pastor of Christ the King Parish in Little Rock. In Shreveport, he succeeds Bishop Michael G. Duca, now head of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The appointment was announced in Washington, November 19th, by Archbishop Christoph Pierre, Apostolic Nuncio to the United States. Bishop-designate Malone's Episcopal ordination and installation mass will be celebrated January 28th in the Cathedral of St. John Birchman's in Shreveport. Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen will be beatified December 21st, Bishop Daniel R. Jenke of Peoria announced late November 18th. He said the Vatican had just notified him of the beatification and he was announcing the news with great joy and thanksgiving. The ceremony will be at 10 a.m. local time at the Cathedral of St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception in Peoria. This is the same cathedral where Archbishop Sheen was ordained a priest 100 years ago on September 20th, 1919, said a Peoria diocesan news release. It seems entirely fitting that the beatification will take place at the end of this 100-year anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood. The cathedral also is the current resting place for the archbishop, who is entombed in a marble vault next to the altar where he was ordained. While Lebanon continues to be engulfed in a massive protest movement, the country's Catholic leaders called on demonstrators to be peaceful and civilized. In a November 15th statement at the end of its annual meeting, the Assembly of Catholic Patriarchs and Bishops of Lebanon hailed the historic uprising that has shaken the country since October 17th. Sparked by Lebanon's economic crisis and rampant political corruption, the nationwide revolt, which includes Christians, Shiite and Sunni Muslims, and Druze, aims for a sweeping overhaul of the country's political system. About 40% of the Lebanese population is Christian. Archbishop Gabriel Cascia, Pope Francis's choice to be the Holy See's new permanent observer to the United Nations, said the Pope has given him the mission of enlightening international discussions and debates with the principles of Catholic social teaching. The 61-year-old Italian Archbishop has been serving as the Apostolic Nuncio to the Philippines since September 2017. His appointment to the UN post was announced by the Vatican November 16th. The Archbishop will take up his new post January 16th. A Nicaraguan priest has denounced intimidation by the police who surrounded his parish in the city of Masaya, cut power and water to the building, and prevented family members of political prisoners from attending a mass in their honor. Mass was celebrated November 14th in Masaya, but only a small number of families could enter the parish. Videos shared on social media show Father Edwin Roman attempting to bring the families through police lines in front of St. Michael Parish. "We only want to celebrate the Eucharist," he can be heard saying as police blocked his path. He later told the press from the doors of his parish, "Let the world see and know that there is not freedom of worship in Nicaragua." With all the news a Catholic can use, I'm Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
Great. Thanks for the news, Renee. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Thomas Otten, who is Assistant Vice President for Behavioral Health Services at Avera McKennan. Thomas, good to have you with us this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for allowing me to come.
The topic we want to talk about is the Farm and Rural Stress Hotline and some of the reasons behind having it. We know, you know, regardless of where we live in this part of the world, we know that the weather's been tough. Yeah. We know that some of the conditions have been tough. And that creates some real issues for people, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, and this year has been a real kind of myriad of issues. Certainly weather's been a very big component of that. Prices have been a very big component of that. And so there have been kind of a myriad of issues that have really led us to the point where early this year, back in February of this year, you kind of see the storm coming. And we opened the Farm Stress Hotline at that time, really trying to target kind of the stress and the difficulties that farmers are going through, give them an option of somebody that they can turn to deal with some of those frustrations.
And I would imagine, Thomas, here we are now closing in on Thanksgiving, the end of the year. Now they actually, farmers actually have a little time to think.
Yeah.
They have a little time to stop and kind of take an assessment of where they're at. And that might put them in a tough spot.
Yeah.
As they look
absolutely.
About what's going on.
Absolutely. This that can be probably a much more difficult time than actually when you're super busy doing lots of different things. So this is certainly a season over the course of the last almost year that we've had it open. We're seeing a variety of numbers of calls that come in. The lowest week I think we've ever seen was 4 calls. The high weeks are in the high 20s. And certainly over the last couple of weeks, maybe even last month, as there was a lot of harvesting going on, the calls had gotten a little bit lighter. So certainly as farmers are busy, that's a very good thing, as that time and the winter comes and they take kind of assess where they're at, we're very prepared that the calls may go up.
I'm going to give the number a couple of times this morning, and also we'll tell people where they can find the number if they don't get a chance to write it down. But it's easy. It's 800-691-4336. And we'll give it again, as I said. Thomas, who should call this number? Well, who's it really for?
Yeah, great point. That really, it's we designed it around farm and rural stress. So there's a couple different things that go into that. The first thing I would say, certainly farmers, producers themselves are a lot of the callers that we get. Probably about half the callers that we're getting are specifically that. Now, a big percentage of the rest of those calls are generally coming from loved ones of the farm. Might be the spouse, might be the kids that are concerned about mom or dad, or they're concerned about some of the things that are going on. But it even goes a little bit further than that, because if you're the guy who sells cars in rural South Dakota, and the farmers are no longer buying cars, it's this crisis is going to hit downtown, you name the city, just as hard as it's going to hit some of the farmers. There's just a significant impact across the whole rural community.
Yeah, that ripple effect is, it's undeniable. I mean, we see it in so many different ways, in the good times and in the tough times.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just inevitable. And I think it's probably always been that way. And I know I've heard, like you have, from some farmers directly that, you know, maybe they've lived through it once before. And so they kind of have a feel for, you know, how to get themselves through this.
Yeah.
But there's probably folks that they've never been through a tough time like this. Yeah. We've had some good years leading up, to the last few.
Yeah, very, very true. Those farmers who've been at this awful long time have been through this or similar things to this. But if you've started farming 10 years ago, you've never experienced anything quite like this. Yeah. And it's hard to know. I'm not a farmer myself, so I wouldn't be the best to predict this. But certainly, I think if you listen to experts, it's not likely to turn around really, really quick. We do think this is going to last for a little while.
Yeah.
With both prices and weather being complicating factors.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, we're talking about the Farm and Rural Stress Hotline with Thomas Otten from Avera McKinnon. And if I'm hearing this morning, Thomas, and I think to myself, well, you know, I can get by. I'm doing okay. How do I know if I should be calling the number?
Yeah, good question. So I think I would start with saying, if you have any thoughts at all, call the number. It is a free hotline for you to call. Our counselors will talk to you on the line at no cost to you, and they will set up whatever services they think might be the best services for you. And so there may be, it may be nothing. They may say, you know what, we've had good conversation, call back anytime you need, but we really don't feel like you need to get into any counseling or see a doctor or any of those pieces. Others, and many others, there might be some services that we think might be a really good fit for you. Mm-hmm. And obviously, this is a tough time. Anybody who goes through a tough time, whether you're a farmer or any other profession, depression is a real biological disorder that I think it's very high time for us to take that on and say there is, you can get help. Depression is an extremely treatable disease if you get help. First time remission rates, probably around 80%, just with the first time. So we have a counselor who is a provider who actually is a farmer himself, who does a lot of our farm stress work. He's fantastic and enjoys doing this type of work. So we oftentimes set up farmers to come in and see him.
And you mentioned, I think, that obviously, no cost to call the number.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things you want to make sure is that this doesn't add to the stress that they might already be feeling.
No, you're exactly right. And it's one of the things that we identified really early on was while we had a free hotline, we did have, counseling and medications and those kind of things all would add to the cost. And so we went out as the Avera McKinnon Foundation and said, we need to go figure out a way to take away those costs, because farmers oftentimes either don't have insurance, or if they do, they might be self-insured and they've got a $5,000 deductible or a $10,000 deductible. And when the finances are already the problem, the last thing I can do is afford to pay for a counselor. So we've, through the foundation, done a significant amount of fundraising that we are allowing farmers to receive those services at no cost.
I got to think that makes a difference to somebody to know that they can get that help without additional cost.
Yeah. No, it's an important component. And those families who have experienced it, I could tell you stories, but certainly from some of those families who have really struggled, it's a game changer to be able to get some services and not have to worry about that.
You know, I think a lot of us have seen the news. We know that, in general, it seems suicide rates are up a little.
Yeah.
Whether it's related to this or not, I don't know that we can make correlation necessarily. But, even beyond the Farm and Rural Stress Hotline, this is a really serious issue in our world right now, our communities now.
Yeah, very, very significant issue. Suicide is up. In 49 of 50 states, last time, the research I looked at very recently, and the only one that went down, and it went down a very, very small percent in a state where it was so high 10 years ago that it really was, the differentiator was it was still very high. So it is a very significant issue. Farmers in particular are maybe a little bit higher risk for a variety of things. Obviously, what we just talked about with the financial concerns and the weather certainly adds to that. Farmers work largely in isolation. That's not a good thing for depression and not a good thing for a risk of suicide and just means of suicide. So, if you know a farmer, I'd say 99% probably own firearms, which is another dangerous thing for farmers.
Yeah. And so the whole idea is to get ahead of it.
Yeah,
really?
Absolutely.
And it is in a sense, we still don't think about this in the right way, do we? I mean, we think about our physical health in a certain way, but we think about our mental health in a different way. Am I right?
Yeah, you were right. And it really is. It shouldn't be thought of differently, but it really is thought of differently in many ways. And there's a stigma around behavioral health that really is important for us to try to break down that stigma. Behavioral health diseases affect the way you think and act and feel kind of like no other disease would. But there really is a very much a biological brain disorder, just like, if you have cancer, you have a disease, or if you have diabetes, you have a disease. Same thing would be true of the behavioral health diseases.
So it really is when I say getting ahead of it, I mean making the call or talking to somebody or reaching out, doing something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Either making the call. And sometimes, again, farmers by and large are a very proud group. It's a very hard thing to do. And so sometimes it is family members who are making that initial call and talking to the farmer and just seeing if we can get help or how we can do things. There are several providers, not only with us, but the mental health centers throughout South Dakota have providers that are waiting for farmers to come. And so I think there's definitely resources throughout our whole state.
And I know there might be a small group of people who would say, well, those farmers, they get all the special attention. I just don't think that's the point here, is it? The point is to try to help people regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you're absolutely correct. And whoever calls that hotline, we're going to help them in a very similar fashion. We do have some special programs for farmers because it's a special need right now for our community. But absolutely, you're correct that no matter what situation you're in, whether you're farmer or not farmer, rural or not rural, reaching out is an important first step in getting help.
I'm going to give the number again. So if you grab a pencil, I'll give it again at the end when we finish up. 1-800-691-4336 is the Farm and Rural Stress Hotline. Does it work well? Because you mentioned that about 50% of the calls come from family members. Does the one that they're calling about accept that in most cases? Are they still receptive to getting help, even if somebody else is calling for them?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, I would say. Very often it is, and we will eventually see that farmer either call or come in for a visit. But I wouldn't say that's 100% of the time. I do think it's individual situations require individual things. And so sometimes people are just calling and asking, kind of what are the warning signs? What are some of the things I should be looking for? What can I say? What can I do
having the
in
language,
those kind of
huh?
situations? Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I know one of the pieces you guys put out, you have a number of really nice pieces that are available for people to use, warning signs for depression. Maybe we should talk just a little bit about that. Again, for people listening and they're wondering, well, should I or shouldn't I call?
Yeah.
What are some of those warning signs?
Yeah. So when you look at the warning signs of depression, classic ones would include kind of a hopelessness, a helplessness, some of those feelings certainly. When you have a difficulty with sleeping, that can certainly be a component of a warning sign. Irritable moods can certainly be a piece of that component. As you look at even thoughts of suicide, certainly that's a one that I would say is of grave concern to us. So there's a screening called the PHQ-9. It stands for Personal Health Questionnaire 9. It's got 9 questions. And really it's looking at kind of the symptomology of depression. And so if you look that up, if you Google PHQ-9, you'll be very easily be able to find what that is. And you can kind of get a good feel for where you may be on that scale. And certainly, again, I think I would call special attention to the question number 9, which is the question about suicide. If there's any concerns about suicide, it's in time to call immediately.
Again, you know, even like with a physical illness, everybody is going to be a little bit different in how that plays out in their lives. I presume that's true with a mental illness as well.
Yeah.
You can talk about broad issues, but each person really needs their specific way to be helped.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And that's why it's so important to get in and see somebody and set up kind of an individual treatment plan for you specifically based on kind of where you're at. You know, I can tell you just in general a few things that are very helpful in working with depression. I will say, you know, step 1, number 1 is get your mind busy doing something. If it's nothing more than distraction, doing things that fill your cup, that create an energy level for you. And again, with farmers, a lot of times that's being out, being in the fields.
Yeah.
That's something that's extremely therapeutic for them.
Yeah.
Secondly, you know, just physical exercise of any kind. You know, might be going for a walk, might be going for a jog, might be a swim. It could be a variety of different things, whatever you find. It might even be something competitive. If you like playing basketball or you like playing tennis, find things that you can do to keep you physically active. And then certainly, as I talked about, I think a third step really is coming in and seeing a counselor, going through some of those things, you know, cognitive behavioral therapist, or really working with a therapist to kind of work on teaching your brain to think differently.
I heard you talk at a presentation, and you mentioned the availability now of actually possibly working with a farmer as he's driving down the field in his tractor or combine. Yeah. And that fascinated me to no end. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So with this program specifically, one of the things that we have is you could do it direct consumer. So one of the things we're working on very actively right now is to finalize those steps so that we can do from our telemedicine. So yeah, I could be on my iPad here in my office, and the farmer might be on their iPad in their tractor or at their home, and you'd be able to do that. Now, generally, it's not a billable service, but again, because we're working with a fundraising to create the funds for that, we can do that kind of outside of the bounds of necessarily having to do any kind of billing on that. So it's something we're actively working on, trying to put those pieces in place of kind of direct to consumer so that the farmer would be able to experience that and not have to drive into town to go to the counselor.
Yeah, I think about that. There's a lot of things about that that might be appealing. One is I don't have to take the time. I can stay in my combine or tractor and keep working. Two, my neighbor doesn't necessarily have to know that I'm doing it.
Yeah.
That might be appealing. And, you know, three, just the, you know, the comfort level of being in a place where I'm pretty comfortable in my cab of my tractor.
Yeah. No, we think it's definitely a model of service that would be important for this population specifically. So again, we're actively working on that right now.
And I know it's not just talking. A lot of times there is a need for medicine because of the chemical imbalance or whatever that somebody is dealing with in terms of their depression. But counseling is certainly a piece of it. Talking is certainly a piece of it.
Absolutely. Yep. Both those things are. So I would almost always start with talk therapy. I think talking, if you get the right therapist, I think can be an extremely therapeutic process. It can be very helpful for farmers. And again, we've got multiple stories where that has been exactly the case, and that's all that was ever needed. medications is a second line defense, they think is also very important in many cases. So I wouldn't even call it second line. I'd say a lot of times they work hand in hand and you kind of need both of those things. But it's been also very effective for those farmers where it makes a lot of sense.
This whole thing makes so much sense to me. And I think about, some of the core values that Avera has in terms particularly of serving the rural communities, yeah. of the telemedicine that you do in all these different communities, and the availability then of a service like this just makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. The mission of Avera, trying to impact communities and individuals, this is front and center of what we do. This is critically important to the sisters. In fact, that's why when we started back in February, I'll be honest with you, we weren't exactly ready for this. We didn't know exactly what we were doing, but yeah. We kind of felt like the need is there. Somebody's got to do something. And so we stepped up to try to create a program, and we're kind of putting all the pieces together now to get it all the way there.
Yeah. And lest anyone think you guys don't understand about what's going on here, you went through a tornado and had your building damaged. And so I think you guys really get it, right?
We have had some struggles recently. Absolutely.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, it can only help. I mean, in terms of the understanding and the way to relate, I guess.
Yeah.
You really do get it.
Yep. No, you're absolutely correct. We've walked our own walk of some difficult times and are working through that as we speak.
So we got to wrap up here, Thomas. But what would be your maybe your best elevator pitch, if you will, to somebody who maybe ought to be using this hotline?
Yeah. I think the best thing you can do is give us a try, give it a call. Again, it costs absolutely nothing for you to call and just kind of talk with the counselors there. They will work with you to set up kind of what the right services might be for you. And it has been extremely helpful for those farmers who have taken advantage of this service.
We're sad that people need it, but we're glad that it's there for anyone that does, and hope they really will take advantage of it. Thomas Otten from the Avera Behavioral Health System, the Vice President, System Vice President. Again, the number is 800-691-4336. I'm guessing you can also just Google Avera and the hotline number will probably show up.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. If you Google Avera Farm Rural Stress Hotline, it will be the first one that will show up.
Awesome, great. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks very much, my pleasure.
The calendar keeps rolling, Renee, and it's
fast.
Thanksgiving this
so
week.
So fast, I know.
Yeah. Important time for Catholics, too. It's not a holy day.
Right.
But it's certainly a day to observe and to give thanks.
It's a great day to go to Mass if you can swing it in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Eucharist means Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yes.
So it's kind of perfect. I know the new bulletin's on its way out soon.
Yes, it'll be coming soon. We'll have a great feature about the Incarnation and our journey to holiness. Some tips on living Advent and preparing for the Lord.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. And, of course, Advent starts next week. So here
Already.
We go. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.